Support for Spookfound Spotlight is provided by the City of Maryville, featuring a conference center at Mazingo Lake Recreation Park, offering a destination for wedding receptions, parties, reunions, and more. Details on availability and accommodations are at mazingolake.com. And from Kawasaki Motors Manufacturing in Maryville, producing gas-powered engines for lawn and garden equipment for over 30 years. Kawasaki has employment opportunities available now for all three shifts, weekends, and full and part-time. For more information, KawasakiMaryville.com.
Welcome back to Spoofhound Spotlight here on KXCV. Karen W., I'm your host, Jeremy Werner, and joining me as he does for every edition of Spoofhound Spotlight is Maryville R2 Superintendent, Dr. Logan Lightfoot. So another big month in the school district, but heading into March, some really big news at the elementary level at the school district. What was it that happened? It sounds like we have a new leader for the elementary school.
We do. New captain of the ship starting July 1st. We're really excited about that. Jeremy Philip Porin is the current Eugene Field Elementary principal. He's actually moving up to assistant superintendent this summer. And at our board meeting this last week, we went ahead and approved Mrs. Shelley Green, who is the current MMS assistant principal, longtime educator here in Maryville, and she is going to be the new Eugene Field principal.
Okay.
So very exciting.
Now, what's her, and I don't want you to just go over everything she's done, but, in your brief time working with her, what has she been like in the district to work with?
Yeah, great question. And I can, from my point of view, you will be hard-pressed to find a more quality person. Just her genuine care for people, her advocacy for kids, always standing up for kids, always supporting her staff. I mean, just one of those types of people that is, kind of a natural leader a little bit and just leads with great empathy and leads with great integrity. And I think, when you talk about a building like Eugene Field where you have many veteran, very, very good teachers, they just want somebody that'll come in there and support them, support best practices, and make good decisions for kids, and that's exactly who we got.
You know, that almost sounds like her husband a little bit.
I'd say
not to blow smoke his way, but have you met Clarence?
Oh, Clarence is a dear friend of mine. And my history when I was a student here, I got a chance to work with Clarence a little bit. And then coming back, it was almost like full circle. And just over the last 2 years that we've been here, my family's been here, just getting to connect with Clarence and Shelley. I mean, those are just two good people that are wonderful assets to the Maryville community.
And have you talked with her about, some of her ideas and plans yet? I assume you have.
Yeah, and that was, one of the things we did. We had a small committee that we interviewed with. And just, Mrs. Green's, I've mentioned the empathy and the integrity, but also just the way that her approach to education and what good instruction looks like. I think she would tell you one of her favorite parts of her job is getting into classrooms and watching teachers, working with teachers, and gosh, when you think about an instructional leader, which is what a principal is, that's job number one. And, she's got some great ideas to bring to the table that's going to make a very well-run building full of great teachers even better.
Awesome. And I assume Philip was in on the, kind of working with that decision.
He was, yeah. So, yeah, Mr. P and I and a couple other folks, we Jennifer Stoll and some other, and Mr. Klotz, some other people were on that committee. And we actually did before that, we brought a group of teachers together from the building that did a selection committee and got to look at all of our candidates and kind of matched candidates versus the strengths that the staff identified and things that they identify as critical needs, those kinds of things, and were able to whittle down to a very good pool of candidates.
All right, well, new leader at the elementary level, and sounds like a good one.
Absolutely.
So it's fascinating, and I guess I kind of want to ask overall, is that just something that happens? But it not to say there's a big turnover, but it sounds like, position shifting and new leadership, a lot of, change under your tenure. Is that something that's normal when, a superintendent comes in? Because that doesn't sound like you've kind of just like said, hey, I'm going to start forcing you all to do this. It sounds like it's kind of happened organically.
I think the word you just said is probably the most key, is organic. And, you know, we've had opportunities to where we've had some, when we do talk about leadership, we've had wonderful leaders at Maryville R2. Some of those leaders have retired and are getting ready to retire. And so kind of your natural progression in any healthy organization, you want to always have, I call it always have a bench, right? You always want to have good people that are in your organization that would want to step up into those positions. And since I've been here, we've been very fortunate with that. We've been able to kind of maybe streamline a few things and maximize some of our people. And really, I mean, Jeremy, I can't be more excited about our leadership team and our school district right now.
All right. Well, other thing related to Board of Education meeting this month, there were some workshops at it. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about those.
Yeah, we've actually been doing those, excuse me, kind of a combination. Probably since October, we've done some walking workshops, we call them, where I'll, myself and the principal will guide the board through a building and kind of show the things that are strong about the building, some things we'd like to get better, you know, facility-wise in the building, so they kind of have firsthand knowledge of that. Last week, we had a workshop looking at staff salaries, certified and classified staff salaries both, and it was a great conversation, great dialogue, because, you know, it was a way for us to get together as a board and leadership team, take a look at our finances, kind of go through our budget. I was able to walk them through revenues and expenditures and kind of our five-year history on that, because that really kind of helps us drive making salary types decisions, because we do, and I said this to start the program, we have wonderful, not only teachers, we have wonderful people in our school districts, and we want to make sure we can offer the most competitive salaries, the most competitive wages we can, but also do it responsibly, you know, so we're not putting an extra burden on our taxpayers, that kind of thing. And being able to sit down at a workshop like that and put all that knowledge out in front of everybody on the table, and so we can make some informed decisions in March, really is helpful.
And how's that visualization help with the board when it comes to making these decisions? Because I feel, and I always think back to when I worked back in Kansas City and they were discussing a new airport terminal, and there were so many people who were like, well, why do we need one? And so then they went on a tour of the facilities as they were, and then it became very apparent why we needed one. So, you know, how much does this help with, you know, hey, we're working on this, this, and this, and so now we need you to actually see not only the gears moving, but also see why this is necessary? How has that been, you know, showing the board those things?
You know, I'd say that it's been extremely helpful. And we're launching Proposition Jump. We launched that in January. And in fact, I'm excited to come back next month and talk in a whole lot more detail about that. And I would tell anybody listening now that we're going to have some media information coming out, and we'll have some things on our website. Go take a look at those things. But in terms of your question on the board, I think it's helped immensely, because you get to walk through, you know, some of those buildings where, you know, bond proceeds, significant bond proceeds are going to go to make these places, these facilities, great for kids and great for teachers. And it's one thing for me to say it, but to be able to walk through, you know, as a board member, we're actually, that's another piece. We're going to have open houses for our community, and to be able to walk through as a community member and say, okay, this is what this room looks like, this is what it could look like, I think is extremely helpful.
Okay. Well, good. I know that, you know, with the board comes the ability for the community to hear voices other than you, like, you know, people out there, it's like, well, obviously the superintendent's going to be on board with this, but, you know, when they hear from the Board of Education, the elected officials, I think that really helps solidify, you know, not only your vision, but the district's vision as a whole.
I would wholeheartedly agree. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, anything else from this month's board meeting? I know there was a few discussions. There was a Navitas presentation. I hope I'm saying that right. Navitas?
So I say it different every time, but it's Navitas.
Navitas.
I asked like the number two guy in charge. So.
I didn't want to screw up a potential contract or anything by upsetting them.
No, and that's actually part of Proposition Jump. Okay, so in our proposition, we are looking to try to touch and be able to affect every single child in our school district, no matter if it's pre-K all the way to graduating senior. We want all of our buildings to be able to experience a little bit of to get some of those needs met. And anyway, one of those things at the elementary, or excuse me, at the middle school that we really need to address is our HVAC system. The building was opened in 97, and we still have a lot of that original HVAC work in there. And we right now to be frank, we have issues with our HVAC. And so we actually partnered with Navitas probably, I want to say November, and they came in. We were able to obtain a DNR grant, of a $20,000 grant, and so they were able to perform a comprehensive energy audit of our entire school district, and in particular looking at Maryville Middle School. And so where we're at right now, they shared with our board last night kind of who they were and, you know, how the value they can bring to our school district. And the nice thing about an energy savings company is they come in and they're not sold on one particular product or one particular service. They bid out and they find the best, what's best for our school district working with us. And for the HVAC, what they'll do is they come back with a number that they guarantee in cost savings per year. And so, for example, they talked last night, number isn't firm yet, but $15,000 to $20,000 savings annually if we did an HVAC renovation and did some energy efficiencies. They actually, by the time they, when it actually goes to build and goes to contract, they put that number in the contract. And so if it's a $20,000 annual savings, for example, and we only realize $17,000 of it, they'll actually reimburse us for the $3,000 that we didn't meet. And so it's a guaranteed savings for the district, and it's a good way to do business, I think.
Okay. So we because that's part of the bond, I think, you know, we'll probably hear more about, you know, that next month. And I guess the only thing I have is, you know, what was the board's reception to the presentation last week?
You know, I think it was good reception, just because you can get bogged down awfully quickly when you talk about mechanical, electrical, and all plumbing, all those kinds of things. But, you know, when you're able to see as a board member, to see kind of some of the recommendations, how that middle school is going to get better, A, but B, how you can potentially be more efficient and save a little bit of money on top of that, I think it was well received.
Okay, well, that's good. There was something else, and, you know, we try and cover everybody, you know, students, faculty, staff, everybody on this show. And one of the things I saw was a new wellness program or room that's I'm doing a bad job of explaining it. So go ahead and explain it for us.
Absolutely. So if you pull up to Maryville Middle School right now and you go to the backside of the parking lot, you're going to see a steel structure that's being built right now. What we're doing is doing an addition to the middle school weight room. And this is actually going to be a nice kind of a benefit for our staff as well. When we're finished up, we'll have key card access for staff members. It's going to be a staff wellness area. So we're going to have, through a grant, we were able to purchase some cardio equipment, some resistance band equipment, things like that. We're going to be able to put all that in there for staff member use. And then during the school day, the PE teachers will be able to use that extra area for additional area for weight room and PE and that kind of thing. So really, we're excited about it. Huge tip of the cap to our maintenance department. They're actually the ones, you know, we purchased the steel and everything like that. They're doing a lot of the heavy work on that to make sure that gets up and gets done to where it's very, very good for kids and staff.
And I guess, when did this idea originate?
Well, this would have been a couple of years ago. In fact, when the wellness grant was out there and we got it, we've got all these bikes, we've got all this equipment, where are we going to put it, right? And the more we kind of looked at where we were going to put it, we also saw a big need for the middle school. I mean, their current weight room's very small. If we were able to maybe meet some student needs and also be able to pair that up with offer an additional wellness benefit for our staff, it was a win-win for us.
Okay.
And I want to make sure I be clear on that. That this is not coming out of bond dollars or anything like that. This is just it's a local dollar project.
Okay. Well, if you're at the middle school and you see that, that is what it is.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, those are really all the notes I have taken down. Anything else from the meeting? Anything else going on in the district?
Yeah, I want to give a huge congratulations. We named our Maryville R2 Teacher of the Year, Ms. Jacqueline Smale. And Ms. Smale is currently she's a middle school math teacher on the 7th grade team and does just a great job. And she's very knowledgeable in her content and also connects well with kids. And I point her out, but we had four other finalists. We also recognize Support Staff of the Year. Jeremy, we're just blessed in Maryville. We've got very, very good adults that work with our kids, and we've got very talented adults that work with our kids.
Not to reveal how the sausage is made, but who votes on that?
great question. So I actually completely removed myself from it because,
okay.
I mean, it is a hard call when you've got, I mean, I can go through, you know, each one of those buildings and, you know, Nicole Dew, Tracy Wallace, we're our finalists down at the elementary and high school end, or the tech school end, you've got a Jeremy Lacey, you know, high school end, Joanna Baker. These are phenomenal teachers. And so I excuse myself from the voting on that. We had three actually community members help make our committee. That would be Jill Tatum, Dr. Tatum's wife, and who was actually a former teacher and just did a wonderful job serving on that committee. Mindy Walker, a longtime Maryville resident and knows a lot about Maryville R2 and supports our staff year in, year out. And then on the other end, we have Megan Jennings from Mosaic, another huge, huge supporter of our schools and our kids. And you had those three ladies come in and vote and listen to all the candidates and interview them and come up with a vote. It was an awfully hard one.
Oh, so I almost imagine it as like a popularity contest, but no, this is, this sounds like a very independent group of individuals being brought together and doing, a really good job at picking who the, you know, teacher of the year is.
Yeah, and the common feedback I got from them was, "Whoa, this is one of the hardest decisions I've ever had to make in voting because you just when you get that caliber of teachers in the room, I mean, it's awfully hard to pick a one." And I could go through each one of them, but their ability to build relationships with kids, how hard they work outside of the normal school hours just to make sure that our students get the best experience possible.
All right. Well, anything else going on in the district or anything else you wanted to mention?
That's about it.
Okay. Well, we're going to go ahead and go to our next segment, which is Better Know a Superintendent. And I was trying to think of something just, you know, very sometimes questions just come to me when I'm doing something, you know, just very mundane. And I recently got a Costco membership and I was going through the meat department. And long story short, question that I have, because the story I was telling would make no sense if I didn't say this. But, you know, what's a food that you ate as a kid, but just it you can no longer eat because you just overdid it? And for me, it's bologna. So I saw this big package of bologna, and I was like, you know, if you got like eight kids, this is great, but this just looks like a disgusting gelatinous meat blob to me. Like, even though, like, as a kid, it was almost like I would eat it at lunch. I would come home from school. If I was snackish, I would make one. I would say, like, I just overdid it. I killed it. Bologna is my taste buds. Just don't ever want it ever again.
Nice. I've actually got two. So my first 10 years of my life, I grew up in Texas. I think this is more of a Southern thing, but pimento cheese.
Okay.
Pimento cheese sandwiches. Like, my mom would make those like they were going out of style. And loved them when I was a kid. I can't even stand the sight of pimento cheese right now. And the other one is actually when I was in college at Northwest. You could, at the time, when there used to be the Tundra, which that predates you, the area in between the high rises, there was a little bitty grocery store in that area, and you could buy Easy Mac by the case.
Ooh.
And I bought Easy Mac by the case, and I cannot, my kids like it, you know, it's easy to make and everything, but I cannot take a bite of that stuff anymore.
It's one of those things where the smell even repulses you.
Absolutely. Oh, the neon glow of the cheese. Oh. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if they had something like that when I was a student at the station, but there wasn't really too much in groceries other than just like frozen products you could heat up.
I gotcha. Yeah, it was in the basement of the old building there, and it was like a little grocery convenience store, and yeah, Easy Mac was cheap, and I ate way too many meals of Easy Mac.
Was that the old comes in a just not cardboard, but a very flimsy box? And,
oh, yeah.
You know, it's just the noodles in there and the package that the fake cheese that you pull out before you dump it all in.
You got it.
I want to say anytime I've gone to like places that try and sell, they sell those microwavable ones now, the plastic ones where you just put some water, heat it up.
Yeah.
how did that happen to where that is, you know, the go-to for cooking? Because A, it's more expensive. B, it's less Mac.
Yeah, true. Absolutely. Yeah.
I don't know. Just some things change. I'm like, we actually made this worse. Why did this change?
Yeah, I don't think you're off on that.
So I'm curious, has that soured all mac and cheese or just Easy Mac?
I'm just not a big, like, I would say it's kind of soured at all. I mean, I'll eat mac and cheese every now and then, but I ate way too much from the ages of 18 to 22.
You need that adult mac and cheese or the supposed quote unquote Kraft where there's like bacon and truffle oil and, you know.
Yeah, that could change my mind.
Okay. I was going to say, the bologna, yeah, it's killed, but I'm not going to oppose someone frying it up and then putting it on a burger.
I would agree.
But bologna by itself, no.
Yeah.
If it's part of something else, totally fine. Mm-hmm. On that food angle, though, you know, because I feel like everybody has that food they ruined as a kid, but I feel like everybody has that food that they just never had as a kid, and then they finally had it as an adult, and they're like, why did I wait so long to try this? And this is going to be very stereotypical, but broccoli.
Oh,
really enjoy. I like veggies. I don't look it, but I like, you know, broccoli, kale. But, you know, as a kid, you just have this idea, like, it's green, it doesn't taste good, it's gross, and... You know, I would just avoid veggies like, you know, the plague. And I think it might have been college where I finally had some. And I was like, this is actually really good. Like, you know, and over time it's evolved from I need butter on this to I just need a little bit of salt or pepper. Like, but, you know, as a kid, I think even at one point I might have tried it and just my brain said, nope, I've already determined you're going to hate it. Just spit it out. So what's that food that you just avoided as like a kid out of just whatever weird reason? And then as an adult, you're like, oh, wait, I was screwing up the first part of my life. This is great.
I would stick in the same family as you. Asparagus definitely has the redemption story for Logan Lightfoot. Absolutely. Can't get enough of it now. Hated it as a kid.
Have you ever had it with the thing in the summer for grilling is wrapping bacon around it and grilling it? Oh, that's good.
Fantastic.
Although, to be fair, anything with bacon grease just like it's soaked, is it? Like, maybe that's all you need to get pimento cheese back, some bacon.
That might be it. If I could do that, that might pimento cheese wrapped in bacon.
All right. Well, anything else going on?
No, Jeremy. Great time. Great time of the school year for sure. We're getting into postseason. We had a wrestler qualify, Hedrick Watkins, for state, and we're looking districts for basketball coming up. And boy, we're excited. We're moving.
Support for Spoofhound Spotlight comes from Kawasaki Motors Manufacturing. Producing gas-powered engines for lawn and garden equipment for over 30 years, thanks to the workforce at its Maryville plant. Employment opportunities at Kawasaki are available now. For information on careers, kawasakimaryville.com. Also from the city of Maryville, home to Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. Golf offerings at Mazingo Lake include the Seacrest 18, the Watson 9, and golf simulators open year-round in the Conference Center. Details on tee times are available at mazingolake.com.